Monday the 24th of May, Yud Aleph Sivan, Rabbi Moshe Ben Krauss, Bishop Akum.
Good morning, Rabbi Isai. I can see there are more people perhaps listening in on the phone than here in person today. Somebody pointed out to me a while ago, interesting chat in the Gemara in Ksuvah, Stav Kuv Vav Amud Aleph. Gemara says that there was a Chavrusa, a Rebbe Talmud, which we would all envy, I would have thought. Rav Onan used to learn Torah from Eliyahu HaNavi. He was his Rebbe, Eliyahu HaNavi. And a Maisa happened, and Rav Onan didn't come to Eliyahu HaNavi. Wasn't happy to continue knowing things, something to do with the Din Torah. So because as an Oynish, Eliyahu stopped coming to learn with him. So says the Gemara of Onan, have a rogel Eliyahu to osik gabei, to have a master and they say he did Eliyahu. What we know as Eliyahu Rabba, Tonid of Eliyahu, that is what Rav Onan learned with Eliyahu Novi. Quite a nice chavrusa to have. And he taught him, he was teaching him Eliyahu Rabba, but then because of this Maisa, says the Gemara, Kimel the Ovad Hochi Stalik, and he didn't come anymore. He was upset with him, Eliyahu Novi. Yosef Betanisa, he fasted, Ubo Rachaman, he davened, Va'osa, and he came. Ki Osa, have a Mivisle Be'usa. When he came, he was scared. The Rabbanon was scared because already he had the Kedusha of Eliyahu Novi, he got him scared. And he couldn't sit like naturally, like a Rebbe Talmud set up. Va'ovet Tivusa V'Yosef Kamei, and he made a box, and he sat inside it. Had apikle sidre till he taught him his lesson. So he was sitting in the box to learn from the rabbi because he was too scared to look at the rabbi till Eliyahu Novi. Behind the omra said Eliyahu Rabba said Eliyahu Zuta. There's Eliyahu Rabba said Eliyahu Rabba turned by Rabba turned Eliyahu Zuta. The one which was taught out in the box was Rabba. The one which was inside the box was called Zuta. So why was the one inside the box called Zuta? The one outside the box called Rabba. So Tosis says a pshat. But somebody suggested to me that pshat is. Could be written somewhere as you can't compare being a Tashia, seeing the Magid Shia. I'm not comparing myself to Eliyahu HaNavi. I'm just saying, as we see Yisoid, as we could be that's chat in the Gemara, that the Maisa, when you come in person, it's better. So when he was inside the box, he couldn't say Eliyahu HaNavi, he didn't have the same Madrega. In any case, Baruch Hashem, I must thank Taka, the organizers, for giving me this course of. Speaking here, and Avada, we all know, and tremendous Kiddush Hashem, I've mentioned it in the past, and it's Dov Yidua, people come and let them come early in the morning to learn, perhaps in London, or late in the morning, I don't know. Gated Sound is perhaps a bit already early in the morning, 8:30. So it's Kiddush Hashem as Eilam come to learn. So I want to discuss the Indian official Akum. Now, as some halacha which we're not very much acquainted with, I also wasn't till I had to give some shurim on the subject, so I looked into it and I found it quite interesting. It's more halach lemais than we actually think. So we'll start off with the Shulchan Aruch here, the Simon Kuf Yud Gimel, Sif Aleph. The Shulchan Aruch says, Dova she'einu nechal k'moishu chai, something which is inedible raw, something which you can't eat raw. An egg, for example, something which is considered is inedible raw, or beans, green beans, fish nowadays you have to know. You have to know because people have raw fish. You have to know whether halacha has changed. You have to know. But meat is definitely not nechel, not edible raw. The gam oila al shulchan malachim, and it also is served shulchan malachim in the royal palace. It's served as a choshev meichel, the lavas boys are passed to help the bread, oila paperas, or to help the bread. As an afters, shabishlo oivit kechovim. If a goy cooked it, afilu bekeili Yisrael, even in Yiddish keili, or a base Yisrael in Yiddish house, also mishum bishul oivit kechovim is called din of bishul akum. Now, first, let's understand why did Chazal institute this whole din of bishul akum. There's two reasons given. The simple reason is mishum chasnas. That's the pashtus pshat chasnas into marriage. If we start eating from what a goy has cooked in his kitchen, we'll come to eat by him all our meals and we'll be Chas v'sholem to lead into marriage, and Chazal made a harchoka with Rabbanon shum chasnas. That is the reason which comes to Rav Rishayim is the pshat. Rashi, however, in Avodah Zarah adds on an additional reason, and Rashi says The reason is because he might be machalim dova she'ino, something which is not kosher. If we go to the goy's house because he's cooked for us and we go and eat together, even if no chash chasmas nothing, he might be machalim things which are also. Now, what could the nafkamina be? Nafkamina could be by a mumma. What's the din by a fryer yid? A yid who is a machal shabbos vahesya and he cooks. Is it also bishalakum? Bishalakum is lapped up eating in his house, even if he cooks in our house. If the goyisha maid, rather yiddisha maid, and she's machal shabbos vahesya and she cooks, is there a question of bishalakum? That could be told on the reasons. If the reason is from chasna, because of intermarriage, then there's not a problem. There's no chashash chasna. Of course, you're not supposed to. I mean, chatchila machal shabbos vahesya, you have to make sure that the child does tshuva, etc., etc. But there's no halacha restricting marriage with the child of a mumma. It's not like a goy where it's osa. So the child of a mumma would not be included in the chashash chasnas. So as far as the first chashash is concerned, there would not be a problem. However, according to Rashi, the reason is because it might be machalim, given something which is also teeth, that would apply. And Amaisa, the Pisri Teshuva says, Hashem's first emotion that one should be machmir, and something cooked by a machal shabbos vahesya or an apikoiris would be subject to the restrictions in the isurim of bishalakum. There might be room for leniency if it's shasat chak, we can ask a shayla, but certainly the chatchila, a mumma would be included in the question of the issa of bishalakum. Okay. Might give him something treifa. If you go to the house whilst he's now in the matzav of not keeping anything, there's a chashash might come to eat from his tray. He's got a tray for kitchen, so he'll certainly come to give us a tray for food. No, but Bishul Akum says Rashi is because of the chashash, it'll leave. Yeah, but that Chazal made loplo. Chazal didn't differentiate. Chazal said that was the reason for the gzeira. Didn't differentiate.
More with the woman himself than might the child.
Mumma himself. Yeah. The woman himself. The main thing seems to be the daughter. It's always brought down the daughter. Ikke gzeirim shum chasm. It seems to be the daughter. That seems to be, if the chashash is mumma, if the chashash is chasna, then it seems to be made for the post can bring down. So. Now, so these two rules are important rules. It has to be something which is edible, something which is not edible in a raw state. The second condition is oila shulchan malachim, served to the kings. Now, what exactly does that mean? Does it mean literally served to the kings? What's called the king? And we'll have to check up, we'll have to write to to Her Majesty and find out what she served. Somebody told me that a friend of his phoned the daughter-in-law of the Queen and asked her, do you know what your mother-in-law gets served? Does she get served any tinned food? Because the question is, we'll go into tinned processed foods later, but the shaila is, do you say, would tinned salmon be a question of Bishul Akum? Do they serve it in the royal palace? So he phoned up the daughter-in-law and she phoned and said, hang on, I'll speak to my mother-in-law. Phoned her and said, tell me, do you have any processed food at all? Is it all cooked on the premises? She said, well, how many subjects does it affect? Was that 10,000 Orthodox Jews? So she said, no, nothing's cooked, nothing's processed in advance. Everything's cooked on the premises and there's nothing as tinned food in Her Majesty's palace. So would that mean that no tinned food would have a question of Bishul Akum? No, it doesn't mean that. Because Shulchan Malachim is not necessarily kings. Some poskim say, many Rishonim say Shulchan Sorim. It could be the mayor. It doesn't have to be Her Majesty. It can be any important person. But it doesn't stop there. The Kaf HaChaim, and in fact the Rambam, seems clear from the Rambam. The Rambam says that what's the Yisoy? Why does it have to be Dafke Achoshev Amaychel, a Shulchan Malachim, which goes served by the queen? By the king. Says the Rambam, because a person would not invite his friend on something which is not choshev. That means sardines are not bishul akum. I'm not getting to questions of kashrus. Kashrus is a second shayla, but bishul akum on sardines is not a problem. Why? You wouldn't call over your father-in-law or your parents-in-law and say, please come to me for dinner, serve them sardines. You wouldn't do that. But it says the Rambam that the soid of shulchan malachim is because it has to be something where the goy might invite the yid to partake of that food. If all will eat of him. He'll only make us sardines. There'll be no problems because he wouldn't come to eat by him. He wouldn't call us over just to eat some sardines. Whereas salmon is more choshev. So Therefore, since that's what the Rambam explains, that the Soed HaDvarim is, would he invite his friend to eat such a food? So the Rambam, it seems clear, nothing to do with Shulchan Malachim. It's a borrowed Lashon. It's a Lashon Mushal. This terminology is Lab Dafka. It doesn't have to be Malachim, it's any Chashav Meichel. So that even a Cholent, a Kigel, these things you'd serve at a Shabbos meal are included in Bishul Akum. The way the Rambam spells out very clearly. Which restricts, I know a Chav of mine told me, his wife wasn't too well and had to go to an appointment, and he had this helper, kosher helper at home, and she knew she's not allowed to touch anything, none of this, she can't cook anything. And one day, Erev Shabbos, we delayed and came back a few hours before Shabbos, so she said, I've done you a surprise, made a surprise for you, and I've cooked your cholam for you. And Shabbos is all made for you. That was the Ma'aseh Shehoya. I was questioning Bishalakim. That's Bishalakim, because even though they might not serve her Majesty might not have cholent for dinner, but we would certainly invite our parents-in-law for cholent and choshev and Michael and either call out of a guest Travis meal. So it's enough, that's choshev enough to be called Bishalakim, and that would be awesome.
The head of putting
him
on the fire by
your
head.
Yeah, we'll come to that later. Kaylin is also a problem. We'll come to that later, Mr. Shem. Right. So, the nafkamina would be whether tinned salmon, for example, would be considered bishul akum. Again, I'm not going into the part of the kashrus issue, but as far as the bishul akum is concerned, even though Her Majesty the Queen wouldn't have tinned salmon, but since you would serve it, you probably even serve it at, you might even serve it to the chasna, I don't know. I don't know if there might be dafka to get the dafka to get fresh salmon. The Gator Drop told me had a list of ingredients, a list of food which they serve in the White House to the President, and they do serve some tinned food, some do, it all depends whether the taste gets affected, but Mimonoshech, we would give it we would serve it for a Shabbos meal, and therefore tinned salmon would be considered Bishul Akum. Right, we'll jump a few sefer and we'll come back to a few practical cases later, Mitzvah Hashem. Now, does what Mr. Silver asked, does the yid lighting the fire help? Is there any way you can correct the problem? Can you be involved in the bishul and thereby remove any chashoshes, any problems of bishul akum? So the Mechaber says that there is such a thing as lighting a fire. Now that we know, that is mentioned in reference to pas akum. Says the Mechaber in Siv Zayin, Ein shkiras hatanam, is lighting the fire doesn't help. Ela be pas, only with bread. That would not help to light the fire. Meaning, if the yid would go and light the fire, he has to go out to work, and the maid's there, and she's cooking the dinner, and he lights the fire before he goes out, according to the Mechaber, it would not help. Because lighting the fire is insufficient asek involvement to be considered something to protect the Bishul Akum problem. That is the shit of the Mechaber. What can you do? What you can do is, if you put the pot on, then it works. He has to put it on the fire. There are more rites, some argue and say it's enough just to light the fire. Lighting the fire means you light the fire before you put the pot on. If the pot is ready on the stove, ready to wait in there, you light the fire, that's certainly okay. Because that's the equivalent of putting the pot on. You've put the fire under the pot. We're talking lighting the fire before the pot's on. So the Mechaber says it doesn't help, and the Ramah says it helps. Now this can be a problem in many moisters. Father Ram, when I was in Gizit Yeshiva, it could be still now, this is a problem, because Father Shabbochim will learn there in Yeshiva, and there weren't so makbid there on Dafka lighting and putting the pot on. Other moisters are makbid. The Meister Lechatchil, I don't know what they do now, and certainly the Chacham Sodom writes that even Ashkenaz and Lechatchil should not rely on this Kula, and just rely on the Yid, and just the light in the fire. So even for Ashkenazim, we should put the pot on the fire. Question is, what do people do in Sfadish and Moistas? So the Tshuva and Yabir, about it, he's Mekel, he says the various other kulas he wants to make for people in Sfadim and Ashkenazish and Moistas, the various kulas brought down, some there is a shit in Rishonim, that something which is cooked in the house of a Yid is okay, even though the Mechaber says it's not okay, so he makes a few Tzirufim together, he's Mekel, but it's certainly not Alachat Chila, and okay, but they have no choice, what can they start doing? And so they have to rely on the kulas, but certainly, even for an Ashkenazi, Lechatchila must actually put the pot on rather than just lighting it.
Why is it
Again?
The restaurants have got goyish shikuts.
Yeah, they put the pot. Yeah, okay. You mean, what can they do? Restaurants have to be mekel. Say that it's a shasat chag. It's a b'diavad des. So they have to be mekel. Mekadin is muta. Mekadin is muta. We not because it has mashkiach there. I mean according to the reason of Rashi because it adds on food. Yeah, okay. But Chazal gave various kulas in this. I think it's a rabbanah for Chazal. As long as you're involved in it, the Chazal were happy with it. Yeah, this is when they get to Bishul Akum. As far as Pas Akum is concerned, as I just mentioned, there everybody agrees it's okay. Even the Mechabi can just light the fire. That's what they do in bakeries. They light the fire and they're going continue for days and days. As long as they've lit the fire, that's okay. Pas, if there's time later, we'll come to Pas Akum. But we're dealing with Bishul Akum. For that, Lachat Chila, we should actually put the pot on. Now, how much involvement does the Yid have to do? What happens if the Yid put the pot on, did everything das v'chadin, and then the fire went out? Fire went out after 2 minutes, and a goy came and switched it back on. Is that okay? So the Mechaber says in Sif Tes, that's not okay. In Bishla, Ovid Kechov, and Kamacho Ben Drosoi, what different in here? No, I want Sif Ches. The Nosan Yisrael Kedera Ala Eish, the Silka, Aboy Vekachav Mechzir Ose. If the Yid put the pot on and took it off and the Goy put it on afterwards, it's Ose. Elim Kenigia Lamachal Ben Drosoi Shu Shlish Bishulik Isha Silka. Unless it became cooked partially when he took it off. Machal Ben Drosoi is not a new concept. We've heard of it in Hilchah Shabbos. Lachon Tov is a robber called Ben Drosoi, and he didn't have time, he was too busy making money. He didn't have time to eat his food fully cooked. He just cooked it partially and he ate it. Machloek is Rambam and Rashi whether it's cooked a third or a half, but once it's come to the Shia of Machal Ben Drosoi, a third cooked, says the Machaber here, that is considered cooked. So if a Yid puts a pot on the fire and it's cooked a third, and then it takes it off and a Goy puts on, there's no problem. Whereas if it was cooked a quarter and the Goy put it on, it would be a problem. Now this can be negeya if you have, you work somewhere, wherever you are, in your workplace, and you put your food in the oven. So usually the food in the oven is already cooked, pre-cooked. But let's say you'd have something raw. So find the case, you took some raw meat, put it in the oven, for example. It was cooking, and there are some ovens which when you open them, the fire goes off, everything goes off. And you close the door again, everything goes back on again. So if the guy, somebody told me he had this problem in his workplace. So the guy's cooking, the guy might open it. I don't know if they want to cook their own things, the guy in the oven, perhaps it's double wrap, whatever. But if the guy opens the oven and closes it again, and it's not yet cooked a third, it's equivalent to the pot having been taken off the fire and replaced on the fire, because the guy has put out the fire and put it back on again. So that would be a problem. So you have to ensure that the food is cooked prior to being put in the oven, or the goy shouldn't touch it till a third is being cooked. As I say, usually it's already mispashal beforehand, it's already pre-cooked, but if it would be raw, then you have to be aware that the goy can't do that bit which leads to the third Machal Ben Drosoi stage. Sif Tes says the Mechaber, what's the other way around? What happens if a goy started the cooking, the goy did the first third of the cooking, and a yid now comes along. Let's say this Yid, like I told you the example, the person came and the goy to put the pot on the fire, and he came back and she said it was fully cooked, all ready for Shabbos, it charmed everything. Now what would be if she'd only cooked it a third? Partially cooked it. Is there an Eitzah? So there's a Machloek is Mechaber and Rimo again. So the Mechaber is Machmeh very much in Bishul Akum. Mechaber also doesn't help. Once it's cooked a third, the goy's cooked a third, that's it. Nothing you can do about it. However, the Rimo is Mekel. I mean, even the Mechaber is Mekel Erev Shabbos, but the Ramah is Mekel. Ramah is Mekel. And that is Negea. That could be Negea, like I just said. If the Goy had cooked it partially, and you finished it off. Now, we'll come to factory foods later. We'll have to see how much time there is. But frozen corn, for example. Now, frozen corn, when we get it from the bite frozen, has been pre-cooked. It's been cooked or blanched. Put into water, hot water or steam, and it's pre-cooked. Now the goy has actually done a partial cooking to it. He's put it, the goy in the factory has cooked it. Is there a problem here? Bishul Akum. Are you allowed to eat these frozen corn? Now first thing to know is corn, frozen corn, ne'achot moshechai, is it edible raw? So I spoke to Choshua, Kashrus authority, somebody in the country. He told me, go into the countryside or buy some corn on the cob and take a few kernels of it, and you'll see you can eat it. It's edible raw, so there's no problem with bishalakum. Anything raw, edible raw, there's no question of bishalakum. So I spoke to somebody else. He said he had the same question. He spoke to the factory, and they explained to him. I'm not saying you can run any factory. I'm just saying that's what they said. I'm not a dietitian, but what they said is that it's true, it's edible. But if you have too much of it, it won't agree with you. It's not good for the digestion. To have a plate full of corn raw is no good. It won't agree with you. It won't want to digest it well. Mimela, that's why people don't have it raw, so everybody cooks it. Completely raw, people don't eat it. So mimela, that's not called nachat meshuchai. Technically, you can eat it. But since if people think people don't eat it, because it's not good for the digestion, people therefore do not eat it. Therefore, it is subject. It's called not, it's not edible raw, and therefore it would be subject to bishul akum. So we haven't got that heter. But we do have the heter of the Ramah. What does the Ramah say? Ramah says that if you complete the cooking process, then it's okay. So when you put your frozen corn in the pot and you finish off the cooking process, you have completed the cooking, that takes away bishul akum. Would it help for a Sephardi? A Sephardi who doesn't rely on it, on Yid finishing off, would it help? So I did quite a bit of research to find out the Matzias, because all these things have to know the Matzias. How much is it cooked in the factory? And in fact, it's negate even for Ashkenazim, because a lot of people do, they take the frozen corn and they make a salad from it. Often people make salad without cooking it first. Take the frozen corn or whatever it is, and you cut out the packet, and it's relatively edible. And they eat it, they mix it with it, they make a salad from it. So it's even again for us, how much has the goy cooked it? Because if we eat it raw, then everybody agrees. If the goy cooked it, machal ben nesor is also. So has the goy cooked it a third of the cooking? Has he cooked it? So it would seem that yes, because the proof is, you can put it in the salad and you can eat it. But I found him a few places, and they told me they cook it for 3 minutes. They didn't want to disclose exactly, but they did say it's a couple of minutes, 3 minutes. Now that is not even a third of the cooking of corn. Again, I'm not a cook, but it seems that you need about 12 minutes to cook corn properly. So Machal ben Rosoi, which is a third, the Chazanish says you have to work out ben Rosoi, a third of the time it would take to cook, once it comes to the boil, how long it would take, you have to split it by three, Machal ben Rosoi. And therefore, it's not even a third cook. We know that you get it out of the package, you can eat it. That's not because of the cooking, it's together with the freezing. The freezing, if you put potatoes in the freezer, then they get soggy. Even if they're completely raw, there's some kind of the freezing, has some effect to it, and it actually makes it softer. So frozen vegetables and things like that, the fact that you can eat it when it comes out of the packet, is not because of the cooking. The cooking didn't make it raw. The cooking only perhaps cooked an eighth or something like that, a quarter. It's the reason why you can eat it relatively well is because it's been frozen. So therefore, frozen corn is not subject to bishul akum because the goy has not even cooked it, kamachal ben drusoy, not even cooked it a third. No. Okay, so now, what's the din of tinned corn? So that's completely cooked in the Goyshe factory. Now, Leila might know, there's been discussion about it for many years. The Possum Dai Weiss, Michas Yitzchok, and others already discussed it 50 years ago. Tinned, factory-made produce, factory-made food, is it subject to bishul akum? Pasha says, yes, the guy has cooked it. So there is a Ra'ah, one shit in the Rishonim, which says it was made on such a colossal manufacturing basis, it's made in a way that it's made on a vast production, there's no bishul akum, because you don't know him, he doesn't know you, there's no bishul akum. But the nice of the poskim say all the Rishonim don't hold to that, so we can't rely. It could be a tziruf, possibly. The advice use it perhaps as a tziruf. The next question is whether we can use a svara of, there's a mechaber later which says at the end of the siman, hamu'ushan einikum uvushal. Smoked food is not called bishul in reference to bishul akum. Smoked salmon wouldn't have a question of bishul akum. Now the way factories work is not with water. It's done by steaming. They have a big, it's like a big pressure cooker. They put about 1,000 tins in the pressure cooker. It's got an official name, I don't know what the name is, I've forgotten. Put it like in a big pressure cooker, and the steam is heated up in a room, and the pipes going into this big container, and pipes leading out, and the steam revolves, goes round, circulates, and the thing gets cooked. The steam is like hot water, and that heats up the water in the tins, and that heats up the food in the tins. Now, the question is steam equivalent to smoke? Smoke is smoke, steam is steam. Are they the same? Some say yes. What's the difference? They both come, there's no smoke without fire, The smoke came from fire, steam comes from fire. It's not fire in itself. If Chazal are making with smoke, they can make it with steaming as well. And that was basically the shit of Dayan Bais Michas Yitzchak. And he was noita to be making with factory-made food because it's made with steam. However, many possible argue on that. And there are a few reasons to differentiate between smoking and steaming. And the main difference, Pashtas, is that smoking, the reason why Chazal were making is not because it's not fire itself. That's not the vault. The reason why they were making with smoking is because smoke, the reason why the thing gets cooked, gets processed, the salmon, whatever it is, it's called a curing process. It's the cold, it doesn't have to be the heat of the smoke. It's the actual sharpness of the smoke can have a partial effect in making it edible. It has a chemical effect on the salmon, whatever it may be, and it makes it edible. In other words, it's not the heat doing it. Bishul Akum is only if the heat does it. So smoke, which is not heat, it's the chemical, the strength in which is doing it, that's not subject to Bishul Akum. That's why smoke is mutter, but for steam, that wouldn't apply for steam, and that for steam would be osa. However, there is another kulam of factory-made produce, but there again, it's difficult to say it's mutter, because it depends on what's the metzias, what the facts are. The Ben Ish Chai says that something which is cooked through groma, it's only caused by the goy, is not subject to Bishul Akum. Something which the goy doesn't do actively, he only caused it to happen, is not Bishul Akum. Now this steam, the goy doesn't actually take anything and put it in the steam. They have the tins in this container, and then he opens a valve, he presses a button, and the steam goes in. Now, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that something which is called koyach rishon and koyach sheni. And if a person opens a dam of water, and the water streams, what comes out initially is called his ma'aser. What comes out after a while is not called his ma'aser. It's not called he has done it. So the steam which goes into this big container, what comes in after the initial pressing the button, after 3 seconds, whatever it may be, or 5 seconds, all that is koyach shein, it's not called his meister, it's only groma. So therefore, one could possibly use the svara of groma to be mekel. But there again, stam to be mekel on tinned because of groma, you'd have to know the metzias. But if the metzias is that it is attack of groma, then there's great room for leniency. Just finish off with this 2 minutes. Just tell you of a ma'aser, a story. A person had the following shaila like this: a person came, it was erev Shabbos. He read him a kavod Shabbos. He's been a shloshes, and they realized, oivai, the shalom has not been put on. Not been put on. What do you do? So the dinner is been a shloshes. You can tell a goy to do a malacha deraisa. Va mitzvah. You can tell a goy ben a shloshes to do a dvar deraisa. So lechayre, get the goy, put the pot on the fire. Get him to put the pot on the fire, and then it'll be no problem of ma'aser Shabbos, no problem of amir el akum. The goy is being instructed to dvar mitzvah, telling him ben ashmoshes to do it. That's okay. Problem is going to be bishul akum, because the goy can't cook the tzonah for you. So what do you do? So one rav gave the following idea. He said, "You do as follows. I give you a goyish eitzah. To get the goy to put it on. Okay, to be cooked. Tomorrow morning, before you go to Shacharis, come down. When you go to Shacharis, take the pot off the fire and put it back on the fire. Put it back on the fire. It's a blech, it's such, you can do it. And then the goy, then the yid will be finishing off the cooking. So that's a chiddush. Even though we said if the yid finishes off the cooking, it's okay. We were talking when it wasn't completely cooked. But the chiddush is the poskim are mekel, not only if it's complete, if it's not completely cooked. Even if it's completely cooked and you make it better, that's also okay. So if you come down 10 o'clock in the morning and take the shalot off, put it back on again, you're improving the shalot, and therefore the yid's getting an active part, and that's okay, you've taken it upon him, bishul akum. That sounds like a very good eitzah, because the yid has had involvement in the bishul, and he's improved it, that would rectify the situation. I'm not convinced whether that helps, because I'm not sure whether the meat part of it gets better by being cooked. I know the potatoes get better. I don't know if the meat get better by the fact that it's cooking longer. I'm not sure. I spoke to Rabbi Falak. He felt that it's all called one big tavshil, and it's improving as time goes on. Therefore, that would be better. However, I haven't got time to go into that just now. But there was another eitzah, but perhaps another time. Well, I'll ask you.